here again this morning and to share in the good things of God. We are reading this morning from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2. Second Kings 2:11. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Shall we pray? Once again, our Father, our hearts have been captivated by the truth of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that for this cause He died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord. We pray that during these hours that we're privileged to be together here at Founders Week to hear Thy Word, that Jesus Christ may indeed be crowned the Lord of our lives. Forbid that we should come and go the way we came. Accomplish in us this day, in the ministry of Thy Word, all Thy purposes. Now our needs are known to Thee this morning. We realize that a man could have nothing except the word given him of God. We would wait upon Thee for Thy Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a sound of galloping horses this morning. And as you're quiet today, you can almost hear screaming down the airways of heaven not only the sound of galloping horses, the rolling of the wheels of the chariot, but you can hear the shouts of the driver as he drives in majesty. And Elijah is on his way to heaven. On the door of heaven, solid gold opens on wonderful hinges of pearl. And Elijah enters, and all the angels get up. And I see one angel with his wings nudge another. He said, I believe that's the same fellow I took the cake to under the juniper tree. That looked like the same fellow I said, same man. I can imagine he's glad this morning that God didn't answer his prayer when he said, oh Lord, let me die. Don't we pray a lot of silly things? And wouldn't we be in the soup if God answered everything we asked for? Oh, Lord, let me die and miss all the chariots, miss all the blessings. Now, Elijah's ascension into heaven was Elisha's preparation for his ministry. The fact that there was a man who was in heaven was the signal for the beginning of a new work of grace upon the earth. And the ascension of Elijah was the empowering of Elisha. It was Joseph Potter who many years ago said the great need of this hour was for prophets who spoke from God and for God with the power of Elijah. And I'm greatly interested this morning how this power became Elisha. And I would have you walk with me today over a familiar road in these moments. And as we walk over this familiar road with Elijah and Elisha, capture once again for our hearts the secret of heaven's power for our ministry. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 2 and before. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. This is the first place of visit. This is the first place these men saw. I believe that there was a divine pattern in their work this morning. It was certainly ordained of God, because as Elisha moved through these familiar scenes with Elijah, he began to see something of that which God would have him know about himself. Something he would see about the wonders of God and the abilities of God that would equip him and strengthen him and prepare him for all that he would face. And I believe that it was at Gilgal that Elisha caught a glimpse of the holiness of God. I was glad yesterday that someone made mention of that great book of Bishop Moore on the holiness, catching a glimpse of the holiness, the wonder of God. Now many things had happened at Gilgal, but I am sure that in Elisha's mind there was the event that took place that memorable day when they entered the land and there were sharp knives made, and those sharp knives were used to circumcise the children of Israel. And the New Testament declares to us that in circumcision we see the putting aside of the sin and the mortifying of the deeds of the flesh. I do not know of a single problem that I have had with myself in these years of attended ministry, but what that problem has arisen largely because of the flesh. And oh, to stop at Gilgal and see God holy and to catch an accident of what a man really is. Isn't it? When God spoke about this flesh first in Genesis, he said he saw that the intent of a man's heart was only evil continually. And I'm never expecting anything else from man but that. And I'm never disappointed. Evil continually. When Jeremiah speaks in Jeremiah 17 and 9, he says, the heart of a man is deceitful and incurably wicked. With all of the world's medicine, with all of its patterns, and all of its programs, the heart of man is deceitful. Yes. The word is incurably wicked. When the Lord Jesus spoke that day, he said, out of the heart of a man proceedeth, and then he gives all the list that you read in the Chicago Tribune. This man, man's death. And I do not believe we will ever know much about the holiness of God and what God can do in our lives until we see what we really are before him. And that we have no sin. So Paul comes to us in Romans chapter 7. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good. Go read it, Tom. No good thing. In writing to the Philippians, he said, we worship God in the Spirit and have no confidence. I'm glad today that I can scurry along the road with these prophets of God and prophet Gilgal and discover once again the truth of what man really is. And they move on. Aren't you glad you don't have to stay there? Verse 2. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said, I'm going with you. I learned so much here at Gilgal. I'm going to Bethel. Now what do you suppose Elisha saw at Bethel? If he grasped at Gilgal something of the holiness of God, he certainly saw at Bethel something of God's marvelous grace and sovereignty in human life. Let's read it in Genesis 28. We're good students to have all found. Genesis 28. A very simple little word that you have read so many times. Jacob has just been aroused by a vision. Verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above the ladder, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest to thee will I give it unto thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now move. And behold, I am with thee. The God who stands above the ladder. This God who is sovereign in all of his creation as he controls it. He said, I am with thee. And I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And I will bring thee again into this land. I will. for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And here stands Elisha before him, high mountains, tossing rivers, turbulent seas. How will a man go on? This is the way. Not only to catch a glimpse of the holiness of God, but to see the wonder of God's sovereignty and faithfulness in human life.
And I'm glad this morning he's faithful, aren't you? That's the one faith we have. I was at a conference not long ago, and they announced a missionary speaker, and I sat beside a very dignified brother. And this missionary speaker rose, and he was so nervous. And he took the corner of his coat, and he wrapped it up, and got it in his hand, and twisted it, and then dropped it down, and twisted his hands, and the brother next to me nudged me like the angel did the next angel, and said, "Well, I guess he won't have much to say." And I knew him. I knew him. I saw the day he left his great crawling ranch house that he could have stayed in. I saw him leave that ranch house with his little wife and cross the seas, and I saw him bury his children one by one. And I knew at that very moment that he stood there in front of me with his hand on his coat and twisting it like this, that his little girl was dying in the hospital. And he said, "I just want to thank God today for his faithfulness. Oh, man. To stop at Bethel and see the sovereign purposes of God unfolding in a man's life so that he rises above it all and says, 'Gracious thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassion, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be.'" Oh, thank God, you can stop at Bethel this morning, as well as Gilgal. See God's holiness. Catch a glimpse of God's faithfulness and all that God can do. I will. Something like that. I will. No struggling. No crying. I will. And I rest my case this morning in the hands of the faithful God who said, "I will." But let's go on. We got a long journey to take, and we do want to get the mantle this morning. Verse 4, "And Elisha said unto him, 'Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho.'" Now, isn't that amazing? Why this rock? Why just moving around from place to place? Because God was teaching this morning, and he was talking to Elisha as he visited these places. "The Lord has sent me to Jericho, and he said, 'I will go with thee.'" I want to know all that God has for me in this journey this morning. I want to know Gilgal. no confidence in the flesh. God's holiness. I want to know Bethel, God's faithfulness, God's grace overruling His providential dealings by life. God's faithfulness. I want to go to Jericho this morning. Well, what happened to Jericho? You say, Mr. Segment, so many things happened to Jericho. But let's go back and read one, because I like to read in Joshua 5 and 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. We were talking about vision this morning, hearing about vision. Aren't you utterly amazed when you read the scriptures that they're just crammed with it? They're just crammed with it. Everybody's looking. Everybody sees. And Joshua lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And here's General Joshua, leader of the armed forces. He's looking down upon this walled city of Jericho. And as he stands looking down upon it, he's suddenly cognizant of a man standing by his side. And he looks and he has a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua goes to him and says, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he says, neither. I'm not for you. I'm not for your adversaries. I have come to take over. This is the lordship of Christ together. Notice what Joshua did. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. I'm always amazed at how straight the saints stand. When these men of God who saw His glory and had a vision of His greatness, they're always prosperous. Isaiah, woe is me. Job, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, and now my eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself, and Joshua falls to the ground. What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose off thy shoe from off thy foot. And he grabs that shoe, and he takes it off. Now why? Just for one reason. He has learned at Jericho God's purpose. And God's purpose for His people is that they might be unshod. That you might have an unshod foot this morning. You remember when Moses stood in the burning bush, what he did? He took off the shoe from off his foot. You remember the day of the wedding, that wonderful wedding in the Gospel of Ruth? That delightful little book of four chapters. When they had the wedding, there was a man who took off his shoe. What was the taking off of the shoe? When a man took off his shoe, he said, I yield up my right. I don't have any more rights. I've taken off my shoes. And I tell you, it would mean something this morning if we moved out of the auditorium and beneath each seat we would find the shoes of the saints. I yield up my life. I give over my life. It no longer belongs to me. It belongs to Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. Yield yourself unto God. Kick off your feet. For Elisha, Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, this was Moody Bible Institute for Elisha. This was training. One more. Verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for hear the Lord, for the Lord hath sent me unto Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they went on. Now, what's Jordan? Did you see God's holiness at Gilgal and His faithfulness at Bethel and His purpose in Jericho? You must see His work at Jordan. For suddenly the rivers part, and you see a heap of stones in the river, and you see a heap of stones on the bank, and you understand that at Jordan, in the Old Testament, God was teaching Romans chapter 6, the great truth of identification. Do you know, I stood the other night and spent 2 hours in a man's room and gone to church all his life, and he was a wee lad. A little wee lad. He has gone to church all his life, and he's husband. I never knew until I heard you teach in our class out in the school, the book of Romans, that there was any such truth for the child of God as identification. He said, I never heard anything about it, and I've heard preaching for 30 years. If we have been called to go together in the likeness of His grace, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. This is the work of God. When Christ died, I died. When He arose, that God, I arose. When He is
Have you caught a glimpse of the holiness of God and the faithfulness of God and the purpose of God and the work of God in your behalf? And now they stand, they cross the river, and they stand, and there comes the galloping hoof, the cry of the driver. And Elijah is going. And Elisha watches. And suddenly, as that chariot goes higher and higher and higher, Elisha sees a mantle as it floats down to the heavens. And I heard a fellow preaching on it the other day, and he had it coming down and snuggling around Elisha's shoulders, but he didn't snuggle. It dropped on the ground. Now there were three experiences in the life of Elisha that day that I think I must know if I'm going to know something of God's power in my life. You'll notice them as we've read. First, there was affection, or devotion. Did you realize that three times, once in verse 2, he said, As thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Verse 4, As thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Verse 6, As thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And not once do you find in this account one single command. Not one command. Everything is based upon Elisha's affection. Everything.
Elijah didn't say, now listen. You come with me, sir. You come with me or out.
It was all based upon his righteous affection, upon his devotion.
And as I read the New Testament, and as you have read it, you have discovered that everything depends upon our devotion to Christ every day. That morning beside the sea, and all the disciples were sitting there eating of the fish that they had caught and the fish that Jesus had caught and just had them all fried together, boiled together. He took their fish and they took his fish, and as they ate, they were all looking at each other and saying, "Boy, I'd like to see what he does with Peter." Aren't you always amazed how we'd like to see other things taken care of? And when they had dined, he said unto Peter, what did he say to him? "Lovest thou me?" Where's your affection this morning? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Your affection for him. This was what led Elisha along and prepared him for all that God would do for his affection. Go to the next. We had it before. His vision. Verse 10. And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me," he had asked for a double portion of Elisha. And he said, "You've asked a hard thing, but if you see me when I am taken from thee," he said, "You go." Verse 12. And Elisha said, "Well, man, you couldn't get him to look at anything else. You couldn't get him to see anything else. He was singing that morning, 'Fill all my vision, Savior, I pray. Let me see only Jesus today.' He only had eyes for the one who was going in heaven. And the secret of the saint's power on earth is the one that keeps it in heaven. There's no higher light than that." Now, I got excited when I began to read how all through the Old Testament and the New Testament this is true. David said, "In the midst of all that's happened to me, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be." But the next word, "Move! There he is. I've seen him. And you can't move me." There on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah came down, and there they all were, and Peter said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build these tabernacles." I heard Stuart Holmes. I won't tell you what Stuart Holmes said about that. But I heard him talk about that. Suddenly there was a cloud, and Moses and Elijah scurried away on the same stairs they had come down. And they saw no man but Jesus. Only. And when these early believers tossed and tempest torn in the book of Hebrews, having everything taken away from me, said they were being spoiled, they were being made a spectacle, the word theater, they were walking across the stage of life, and there were the hisses and the boos and the jeers, and they wondered what to do. He said, "Just look! Look unto Jesus! And run!" Jesus. One of my boys from our house of God is a runner. He does right well. And the other day he came and said, "Pastor, I'm running on Thursday morning. I wonder if you'd like to come out and see me run." I said, "It certainly is." I said, "Then I'll be there." I said, "What time you start?" And he said, 10 o'clock in the morning. He said, "We're running 4 miles. And he said, "We have all the schools in all the country with us." He said, "We have Notre Dame, and we gave all University of Chicago, Northwestern, University of Wisconsin. There were some 37 schools, and they had 200 runners. It was a fight." So we got out about 9:30 and watched all the boys limbering up. It was about 15 above zero, one of those lovely mornings. And here they were standing out in the snow. And around this dark horse, they had taken one of those little jeeps, and the jeep had gone along and nosed out a path about 5 feet, 6 feet wide. And I stood there that morning
when there came the crack of the pistol, and I saw nearly 200 men leave the starting line. And one by one, I saw them single out, two by two, three by three, as they scurried into that little path and began to run. And of course, I was excited, and I ran. I could cut across, and I could get ahead of them. You know that. And as I got ahead of them, I'd stand there and watch them come by, and here came our boy. And I was all excited about him. I clapped my hands and said, "Go ahead, run!" And you know what? He never paid a bit of attention to me. And a fellow down the line, he stood there from Notre Dame, he steamed out at the fellow from Kalamazoo, Western Michigan University, he said, "Well, you're not doing so well. He never heard it." You know why? He wasn't running for spectators. He wasn't running for the crowd. It made no difference to him whether there were hisses and boos and jeers or great gushes of emotion in his favor. It made no difference. He was not running for spectators. And Elisha found out that day he was not to be concerned about the boos and the hisses and the jeers of men along the way. There was only one thing. And that was the goal. And sometimes, don't we get a wee bit disturbed in this day when the saints pay so much attention to what the spectators say? I don't care what the spectators have to say as long as I have my eyes on the goal. And so the galleries may say this and the galleries may say that, Mr. Doesn't look awkward this morning? It makes no difference. If you have a piece of the one that is dead, and there he was. So there was affection, there was vision, and then notice the last. And he liked to fall and cry, "My father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and he saw no more." And he took hold of his own clothes and left him. He just took his own clothes and took them off and said, "I won't be needing these anymore. I won't be needing these anymore." You can't break yourself in God's provision until there has been a rending of the soul. And it's been broken. And he tore up his own clothes. And he reached down. Though it didn't fall out of him, there was an act of appropriation. And he reached down and picked up the mantle. And he put on the mantle of Elisha. And he was ready for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Have you been to Gilgal? Bethel? Jericho? Jordan? Has your affection for Christ drawn you unto him so that you have seen him and him alone, and you've forgotten about Jim and Jerry and what everybody else in the world says, and you're concerned only, only, only about what the man in the glory has to say about you?
There is a divine equipment for the drudgery of life today. May there be a rending of our own souls and an appropriation this day, personally, of all that God in his marvelous grace